So that's Jeremiah chapter 18. So as we're coming in the middle of the book, I thought it'd be better just to give some context. Jeremiah here is God's voice for the people of Judah and Jerusalem, and their kingdom, God's people, have been split in two, and Israel, the northern kingdom, have gone into exile. And Jeremiah's message is proclaimed to Judah for 40 years over the span of five kings. And aside from Josiah, the rest of the kings have all aligned themselves with the enemies of God. And the result of that is really just a total disregard of God, ignoring God and worshipping other gods. So let's just read Jeremiah 18. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words. So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. And the vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to do. Then the word of the Lord came to me, O house of Israel, can I not do to you as this potter has done? Declares the Lord. Behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. If at any time I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck up and break down and destroy it, and if that nation concerning which I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I intended to do to it. And if at any time I declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will build and plant it, and if it does evil in my sight, not listening to my voice, then I will relent of the good that I had intended to do to it. Now, therefore, say to the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, thus says the Lord, behold, I am shaping disaster against you and devising a plan against you. Return everyone from his evil way and amend your ways and your deeds. But they say, that's in vain. We will follow our own plans and will everyone act according to the stubbornness of his evil heart. Therefore, thus says the Lord, ask among the nations, who has heard the like of this? The virgin Israel has done a very horrible thing. Does the snow of Lebanon have the crags of Syrian? Do the mountain waters run dry, the cold flowing streams? But my people have forgotten me. They make offerings to false gods. They make them stumble in their ways in the ancient roads and walk into side roads, not the highway, making their land a horror, a thing to be hissed at forever. Everyone who passes by is horrified and shakes his head. Like the east wind, I will scatter them before the enemy. I will show them my back and not my face in the day of their calamity. So that passage really kind of sums up really the whole book. So from sort of verse 11, it's God declaring the judgment upon Judah and then saying, look, return, you know, come back to me, stop your evil, come back to me. And then in verse 12, it's their response. You know, what's the point? We're going to do our own thing. We're going to follow our own ways and that's it. And then sadly, it's the Lord's response back in it. And from verses 13 to 17, ultimately ending in his judgment, saying that in verse 17 that he's going to scatter them before the enemy and that his back will be facing them in the day of the calamity. But the passage I really wanted to talk about was verses 1 to 11, because I think the picture of the potter and the clay is a really sort of interesting picture. In verses 1 to 4, God gives Jeremiah a picture of a potter. So this potter is making something out of clay. He's making a vessel out of clay, and then he sees that it is spoiled. And then he reforms it and he reshapes it for his own good. And in verse 5 and 6, God basically claims himself to be the potter. He says, look, I can be the potter to Israel, who were going to be compared to the clay. And it's not only Israel, it's other nations and other kingdoms. And what he's saying is that if I declare judgment against any kind of nation, and they turn back from their evil, then I will change their fortunes. I will mold them differently into a different future. And then vice versa, and worryingly for Judah, if if there was a kingdom that he intended to plant and build and they turn away from him, then vice versa, he will change their fortunes and sort of he will have his judgment on them, so to speak. But I just really wanted to concentrate on the contrasting sort of the potter versus the clay. So I think the first thing I thought of when I was reading it was, well, the potter, well, he's in charge. The potter's in charge. The potter in this passage is the one that decides to form the vessel in the first place. The potter is the one that sees the spoiledness, the fact that it wasn't right, and the potter is the one that decides to reform it. I think in verse 12, when Judas say, oh, we will follow our own plans, we will act everyone in our own way, it really gives a false sense of the control that they have in that situation. Because, you know, just before that, in verse 11, during that time, God is still shaping a disaster to come on them, devising a plan against them. And I think what we can really see from this, and I think we probably all know it, but do we really know it, is that God is sovereign over every nation and over every land in this world. He is the one that chooses to give power and to take it away. He's the one that chooses to break down kingdoms and to build them up. And if you contrast this with clay, well, if the potter is the one that's in control, then the clay is something that's completely dependent on it being molded. So I don't know about you, but I've never seen clay mold itself. So I bought a prop. There you go. So if I was to put that clay there, it's not going to do anything. It's just there by itself. Actually, it sits there lifeless, without purpose, and that's basically what Judah is. Without God to mold it, it sits there facing his judgment. So God's in control. It's easy. As I said, I didn't. This is not a kid's talk, and therefore I don't need to bring a prop to keep your attention. But I just didn't think there was a better way of actually illustrating what God is trying to say. So it's as easy for God. So the way that, so if I make this fair, like this shape here, and then I choose to, like, I don't know what that is, but yeah, just to make another shape. What he's saying is it's easy for God to change and mold the futures of kingdoms and powers and principalities in this world, as it was just to do this. How many times have we seen nations attempt to go it alone without God? Empires have come and gone, cities have broken, and what they haven't found is that it is easy to shape themselves or the people around them. That's because without God, because he's in control, they will always be spoiled. They will always be without God's favor. So this passage really shows that, number one, God is in control, and number two, it's easy for God. And I sometimes don't think that I've really scratched the surface of the nature of God, because, you know, mighty nations, and God considers them like putty. And in one word or in one moment, the course of nations' histories can be changed. But it's also important to know that God is rational. The potter is rational. He makes his vessel. He sees that it is not right, and he changes it. He doesn't just make a vessel, see it's okay, and then changes it for the fun of it. God is not a whimsical God. He doesn't take power and give power just for the sake of it. And it clearly shows it in this passage. And so in verse sort of 11, when he is saying, you know, return everyone from his evil way, the consequence of not returning is the judgment that he's talking about. So the point is, the disobedience that Judah has with God causes him to cast judgment on it. And in this passage, what it's saying is God's mercy towards nations and judgment towards nations is a result of choices made to turn away or towards God and turn away and towards evil. I mean, from the perspective of the clay, it's being moulded for a purpose. And what's his purpose? Well, for the potter, as in verse 4, so it seems good to the potter. So for the clay to be moulded to seem good, what is it that he wants? He wants his people to be obedient. And he wants his people to despise evil like he despises evil. And he just desires for his people to obey him. So I was thinking sort of how, you know, we're at a prayer meeting. How does this help us to pray? How does this encourage us to pray? Well, I don't know how many times we've prayed for Sri Lanka and other nations that oppress our brothers and sisters. But if we come to it with an attitude that this God who is so sovereign and finds things so easy just to break nations, how amazing is that, that he's on our side, that we can pray according to that strength. In the same way as the clay is completely dependent on the potter, so we are on God shaping our lives. And it really challenged me. Am I receptive to his moulding? Do I turn away from evil? Do I follow him enough? Do I consider obedience to him as optional? Or something like a command, like he commands Judah. And we should be comforted by this passage, because we know that those who obey the Lord, it says here, like the potter, he will shape us into something good. And it's gonna look different for different people, because if we take the example that was preached on Sunday evening with Joseph in Genesis 37. My namesake spoke on the purpose of God, Joseph, and the providence God provided to Joseph. He talked of the coincidences. But from the time that Joseph had his first dream, God was already moulding him and his circumstances in the pit. When he was sold to Potiphar, when he was thrown in jail for things that he didn't do, God is moulding him so that, and it says in Genesis 45 verse 7, that it was for the purpose of preserving for you a remnant on earth, ultimately to fulfill God's plan, to fulfill God's promises. So, finally, when we come to pray, let's pray for those situations that are difficult, because God can deliver. He's the one that chooses to bring us out of certain situations, and it's easy for him to do so. So we can really trust that when we pray. But in the same time, let's pray that he would still work out his promises by shaping and moulding us to be vessels that he is pleased with. Yeah, that's it. So I'm just going to pray. Father God, thank you that you are in control and that you are sovereign on this earth. We thank you that you are merciful enough to us to send us your Son, so that with his grace we can live according to that grace and not fear for our every slip up, Lord. Lord, we thank you that we can trust a God that molds us into people that he chooses to see as good, Lord. And Lord, that will be so different for each one of us and how we live our life. But I pray, Lord, that we would be receptive to your molding. That as we pray now this evening, Lord, that you would start changing us now, Lord, and molding us to the people that is receptive to your Spirit and loving to each other and just acknowledging the sheer awesomeness that you bring here, Lord, that you can answer anything and you can answer any prayer. Thank you for your most wonderful gift, your Bible, and I pray, Lord, that it would encourage us as we pray today. Amen. Amen.